Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay from Blog Talk Radio, and I am having some technical problems at the moment, so I would really appreciate your hanging in here with me as I try to resolve them and try to get Miss Dion with me because we do have a guest. Hold on one moment. Misty also, but I'm trying to get her in, and like I say, I'm so sorry because we have a wonderful guest tonight. So if you can just hang in there a few more minutes while I restart everything, and hopefully we'll be situated in just a few moments. And while we're waiting, I do want to mention to you that this is a very special show that deals with the issues that women who are married to gay men or bisexual men have to go through. And there are millions of us in this country and certainly millions around the world, as I'm hearing from more and more women who are around the world and the problems that they're going through. In fact, I was recently sent an article that was very interesting from China, and there are over 10 million women in China who are married to gay men. I was just startled when I read that. And, you know, the saddest part of all is that there's very little they can do about it, because they are really kind of stuck in those marriages. And, you know, because of the cultural norms in China, that there's very little hope for them of ever having any kind of real lifestyle outside of that marriage that's doomed. So I always tell women who are in this country, we're so much luckier than so many of the other women who are out there who really can't make any progress, who are kind of doomed to their situations when they're in Asian countries or in their countries where it's just not an accepted norm in the Muslim countries. I hear from many women who are really in pain, but they're really stuck where they are. And in other countries, as well as the Latino countries, where the cultural differences are so great. But once again, here in America, many of our own women feel so stuck. Last week, I was not on the air, as many of you know, because of the fact that I was in a healing retreat in Houston. And it was just so wonderful hearing the stories of women who were all such strong women who had really gone through all the challenges that everyone who listens to the show goes through. And to see how they are restarting their lives and how they are finding the strength to walk away from all the dysfunction that they've been living in and all of the distortions that they've been living in, which is more likely what it really is, because when you're living in a marriage with a gay man, it's really a distortion more so than anything else. And one of our guests tonight is supposed to be one of our women, Grace, from that retreat. And if you're listening, Grace, we'll be getting hooked up pretty soon in just a few minutes as we're restarting everything here. Like I say, it was a technical problem, and I apologize to everyone who's listening, but we want to make sure that you have the best quality of the show. And hopefully we'll be getting started shortly. I don't want to have to cancel the show. I'm just asking you to hang in for a little bit. So for all of our listeners who are out there and who, you know, support the show, I would like to say a special thank you. I heard so many nice things about the show, you know, when I was in Houston, and so many people who really depend on this show as a lifeline for themselves. And the show, I always get letters from all over from women saying how this show really does connect them when they do feel isolated and alone. Because unfortunately, when you're going through this, sometimes you feel like you're the only one in the world who is going through it and that nobody understands. And I think it's really easy to feel that way because you are isolated. And I really do believe that no matter how sympathetic people are, and no matter how supportive they are to you, that unless you're going through the situation, that it's really difficult to relate to it. People can be very sympathetic and they can be understanding, but they really don't know the pain and the isolation that you're feeling. And that's because these marriages are different than other marriages. I always tell this to women, that you should never feel, well, how come I can't get over this? Or how come people are telling me what's taking me so long? You know, there's no timeline for this. And in fact, I'm writing for my newsletter that'll be out in a few days about the whole concept of residual scarring, because there are a lot of deep scars that come out of these marriages. And as I tell women often, that you have to really work on fixing yourself, because that scarring's just there waiting to be picked off again. And it only takes any kind of setback to start feeling all those insecurities come up in you again, and the feelings of inadequacy that we've learned through our marriages. And one of the other stances that I'm really taking a strong stance on now also in my upcoming newsletter that will be out this week. And by the way, if you don't get my newsletter, you can feel free to write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, and I'll be more than happy to put you on my mailing list. But one of the other issues that I'm really, you know, going to try to press, you know, I work with a lot of men who are really, you know, very confused in their issues of coming out to their wives. And I am very supportive and very understanding, and I know all of the different issues they're facing. I believe a lot of these men really love their wives, or they at least loved them when they married them, and they wanted their marriages to work. And sometimes, you know, I've broken down the different categories of men in my upcoming newsletter that come to me. You know, some come to me when they're ready to tell their wives, namely because they've met somebody new for a relationship, while others, well, you know, they're coming to me because they're having these feelings and they want to make sure that, you know, they direct them in the right way. They can't keep suppressing them. And others come to me because they're just confused, like, for instance, they'll tell me that they really love their wives and they don't want to end their marriages. But unfortunately, it's a matter that, you know, they don't know what to do. And they talk to me about how wonderful their marriage is, except for that one little aspect of the sex and the intimacy. But they say that a lot of people don't have that anyway as time goes on. So is that really so important? And then they reassure me how much their wives really are happy in these marriages, and if, you know, they said anything to their wives would be devastated. And in their heart, they really believe that. And I, you know, now have decided that even though they do believe that, they're just not getting the big picture that in my mind, and this is how I truly believe, that any woman who has faced continual rejection in the bedroom, you know, or the intimacy that we're all seeking in a marriage, there's just no way that we can be happy because we really believe something's wrong with us. And when you live that life every day and you keep thinking, well, there must be something wrong with me because my husband doesn't want me. You know, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not built enough. And I've seen women who have gone through all kinds of surgery to make themselves look better for their husbands, thinking that the problem must be them. I don't call that love anymore. I call that selfishness. I feel that these guys need to take the chance and tell their wives the truth. And if the wife decides that, that's fine, I can live with this because I love you that much and I don't want to leave you and I don't care if I don't have, you know, a so-called normal life, and that's on them. But to have to work with this whole situation and not know the truth, that I just can't deal with anymore. I'm telling men, you really owe this to your wife. You promised to love her. You promised to cherish her. You promised to take care of her. And every day that you're living with her and not telling her the truth is another day that goes by that she's living in your deception. I mean, if you're having these feelings, and even if, and a lot of men are acting on these feelings, then you know that you're doing, you know, things out there that are gay and you're living a double life. And is that really fair to do to the woman who you love? And then when you don't want her, you know, how is she supposed to feel good about herself? That's what I never understand. You know, that's one of the things that I just feel is so unfair, that, you know, you think your wife is happy because you're sitting and providing for her. Well, that's not what makes up happiness as far as I'm concerned. So there's a lot of issues here that, you know, we have to really think about and really talk about. And we'll be talking about some of them on our show, you know, shortly as I'm pulling this together. And hopefully we should have our guests and Misty on here in just a moment, as my technical difficulties here are trying to be resolved. And I'll give you our call-in number in a few minutes also for anyone who would like to call in and make any comments. And that will just be in a moment. And also I want to talk to women out there who are listening from other countries that, you know, I'm doing my best to start some additional chats that will really, you know, be good as far as if you're in other countries. You know, we're working on getting our UK chat together, and we have some women for that. And I've been hearing from women who are in the Scandinavian countries, and I'd like to do something with that. I mean, there's just so many women who really need support. And hopefully, you'll be finding it soon. Always know that you can sign up for my newsletters, which are free newsletters every month, and also through our show here. And also, I have online support chat, of course, in the United States. But also, I'm really working, you know, to help women get pain pals so they can get connected. And I think that's really important as well. So, you know, whatever we can do to get started, you know, to help you finding the support that you need. This is what we're here for. So I'm going to try now to get connected up and see how good we do. So just give me one more moment. Stay with me. And hopefully our guest Grace will be with us also. And I really do apologize for these technical difficulties. But hopefully we should have the show fixed up in just a moment. And give me one more moment. I know Misty is anxiously waiting in Florida to join our show. And hopefully our guest here for tonight, Grace, will be there too. So just give me one more moment. I'm signing into the studio. And we'll see if Misty's waiting for me. And yes, and it looks like we have Grace here too. So let's see who's here first. Misty, are you here with me?
I am here with you.
Gosh, this is really horrible tonight. Let's see if Grace is with us also. Hold on.
Okay.
Grace, is that you?
It sure is.
Grace, I am so sorry. We weren't expecting these technical difficulties tonight. I'm so happy that you hung in there waiting for us. So
well,
welcome to our show. Grace, this is Misty, my co-hostess with us. And you kind of sound alike because you both have Southern accents.
Hi, Grace.
So you have that
very
in common, nice. Right?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Misty.
Hi.
And Grace, you know, I wanted to thank you so much for calling our show. And, you know, if other people would like to call in and have any comments to make, I'm going to give our call-in number, which is area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that again. Area code 646-716-4893. Grace, I was so excited. I had the opportunity to meet you last week in Houston. It was a wonderful, you know, experience. You know, to be able to
meet you too. It really was.
You know, when I looked at all the women at our table and I see these beautiful women whose lives have been so distorted by, you know, relationships that are so ridiculous. And I think of all the years that, you know, you put into these, you know, sitting and questioning yourself. And, Grace, you're in a unique position, not a unique position, in fact, about, I would say about 15 to 20% of the women who come to me are in your position of not only having to have a marriage with a gay man, but then having him remarry. Is that correct?
That's right. And you said something earlier that made me think, when you said about it being a scab, when I heard he had remarried, it brought
mm-hmm.
back all the, you know, the self-doubt again, you know, was it me? And I, now I'm getting to the point where I know that it's not me. But like I said, when you first hear that they remarried, and especially when I found out that he had had a child with this woman, it really did send me on a downward spiral for a little while.
Right. And I think that happens to so many of the women who come to me whose husbands remarry a woman. And, you know, that's why I've done my best to try to categorize these guys, you know, who get married to women, you know, as our limbo men, as our straight gay men, you know, men who will never, ever admit that they're gay, even to themselves. You know, they're all different categories, but it really, to me, crushes women and throws them into, like you say, a spiral, downward spiral, when they have to start re-questioning themselves. After having lived through the whole marriage and now finding out that their husbands are now marrying women again.
Right.
And so how long was your marriage, Grace?
We married in 1999 and divorced in 2009.
Okay, so you had 10 long years together, right?
Yes, yes.
And was he from a religious background?
No, he, the year of 2007 was really, the last 2 years were really a roller coaster ride because he had gotten a DUI, which he had a drinking problem, and now looking back on it, I believe that that was his way of self-medicating. And but after the DUI, he blamed me for it, which I wasn't around or anything, and he went to a church. And for me, it was a cult church, and he changed so dramatically and accused me of everything, called me some of the most wicked names you've ever heard. And I had been going to my own church. I'm a Methodist and had gone to church the entire marriage, which he never went in. But he went into this church full force and told me that I was Satan's spawn and that I was no good. And it was just horrible, horrible.
Grace, let me ask you this. How old were you when you married?
We were married 10 years.
No, how old were you both?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was 41 when we married, and he was younger than me.
Was this your first marriage?
No, it was my second one.
Okay. And did you know him for long before you got married?
We knew each other for 5 years.
Okay. And during that time, was there any signs that something might not quite be right?
When I
looked
back now.
Even if you didn't know what it was. I'm not saying you
When I look back now, Bonnie, there were signs all over the place. But I was so, I had been in an abusive marriage, the first marriage. And I think I was ripe for the picking for him because
exactly.
I had been, yeah, I had was so beat down and everything, and I think he picked up on that. He was never physically abusive to me, but verbally and emotionally very much so. I think that was another thing is that coming out of the bad marriage, the first bad marriage, I felt like that's what I deserved, you know, and you said something so profound in one of your newsletters and on your radio show a few weeks back that we are all broken women. I believe I was so broken. I was the child of a military man. My dad was very abusive. I went into my first marriage. My husband was abusive, and then I went into my marriage with my gay husband, and he was abusive, so that's where I am right now is just trying to heal myself. I'm not out looking for another man. I'm just trying to be the best woman that I can be. And if I'm alone the rest of my life, then that'll be fine. But I'm not out looking for a man because until I heal myself, I'm afraid I'll just make the same mistake over again.
And guess what? You will. And
yep.
That's what I tell women. You know, it's not so simple. It's just not a matter of ending a marriage and looking for something better. Because, you know, we've talked to many women who have, this is like their second marriage, and their first marriage was, you know, very abusive. So this kind of seemed like not too bad compared to the other marriage.
Right.
You know, when you have somebody who's offering you some kindness after being battered in an earlier marriage, it seems like a good deal. Just go for
right.
it. Somebody's
right.
treating you nice or somebody's treating you better. And not only in marriages, but we have so many women, Grace, who were battered during their growing up. They grew up with alcoholic parents, their mentally ill parents. You know, we've had women who have parents who put guns to their head, I mean, when they were growing up as children. And they were so abused that anybody who came along who was offering a handout, putting their hand out to give them kindness, you know, they just grabbed it.
Right.
So, you know, that's absolutely the pattern that you showed would be a very natural pattern for someone in your position. The only difference is that I admire you so greatly for at least knowing this and saying, I'm not going to do this again.
Right.
Because that takes more strength and more courage. Most women, you know, are just so desperate for love. And in fact, it's really interesting that, I hope you don't mind me steering away for just 1 minute.
No.
But since you brought up this topic, you know, I have a letter coming out in my newsletter that's coming out this week. And I'm not going to mention the writer's name because I told her I would, you know, keep it anonymous. But she wrote a very profound thought that I think that you could appreciate. And she talks about how she just got out of a bad relationship. you know, that she was involved with somebody who was a predator. Because, you know, I keep talking about the predators who are out there. And, you know, she said that, she said, Bonnie, my ex-boyfriend's getting serious with another woman. Now, this is her boyfriend after her gay husband. That I'm seeing a trend now. He goes for widows, the ones who seem vulnerable and or have, you know, the looks that they like, you know, so on and so forth. But anyway, it says he demands my time and resources. And, you know, she tells the whole story. But at the end, this is what I like what she says, and I think that you can relate to this. It says, Bonnie, I find that I was so wanting to be touched and loved by a man after being married to a gay man for 24 years that perhaps I was too accepting and vulnerable. Predators are on the lookout, and they will seem wonderful at first. To be honest, I don't really know what a normal relationship looks like. My gay husband, in a sense, made me handicapped, and I'm finding relationships are not working for many reasons. And predators will try and promise us what we seem to be missing. And isn't that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that was kind of where you found yourself, right?
Absolutely. He was just the sweetest, kindest man. He, like I said, he was younger than me, had never been married before, had no children, and my children were almost grown, but he never really acted like a dad to them. He was more of a friend. My kids adored him. And but as you know, we live kind of, like you said, in the women's closet, the wives' closet, and I never talked about my marriage with anybody. You know, I never told them how alone I felt and how isolated I felt. And so when I came out of the marriage, this has been a process over the years, people told me that I didn't act, my children, my mother, my sister, all have told me you didn't act like the person that we knew before, you know. It does something to you, you know. It makes you just feel like you're invisible most of the time.
Right. You lose who you are in these marriages.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And your personality changes just so you can cope in them.
Right.
Now, did yours get angry a lot?
Oh, my goodness. He could get angry. I'm not lying to you, my daughter came to visit us. He had moved me away, and I don't mean that. We moved away, but it was his idea to move away from my support system. And my daughter had come one time, and he came in the house and for 10 minutes went on a rampage because there wasn't a pen on the table. Just this horrible. My daughter looked at me like, what is going on? For 10 minutes, he screamed and hollered because there was not a pen, fountain pen, on the table. But that's how I lived most of the time. You never knew when it was going to, the
blow
explosion
up.
Was going to happen. You know.
Was he physically abusive at all?
No, he never laid a hand on me. Ever laid a hand on me. But you said that at our conference last weekend that sometimes the emotional and mental abuse that they put you through is harder than being hit. And in my first marriage, I was hit.
I don't know,
but
you were in the first marriage, right?
Right. Right.
But the thing is also, you know, I think, you know, this is what I call the invisible bruises.
Right.
And, you know, when you live with a rageaholic or you live with somebody who's emotionally abusive, you're almost hoping they're going to hit you.
Right.
I don't know if you found that to be the case, but I did.
Yes.
That you're almost hoping they'll hit you because people don't believe you. And at least if you have something to show for it, you can say, see, I'm not crazy. He's abusing me. But they make sure they don't do that. They just mentally beat you down.
It's a horrible existence to have to go through. And I spoke to Wendy last weekend, and I told her that her list was one of my saving graces because when I read her list about him and me, everything on there, with the exception of the children aspect of it, because we didn't have children living in the home, fit to a T. Everything about it, the emotional emotional unavailability. I can remember he never spent holidays with us. He would always cause an argument and either leave or he would go in the bedroom, but he never spent holidays with the family, ever.
Uh-huh.
And so everything she put in her list fit my life to a T during that time.
And I just wanted to mention that Wendy is going to be our guest next week.
I'm very excited to listen to her.
Yes, so you can hear all about her new list. But
yes.
Yeah, Wendy really articulates that beautifully on how, you know, he feels, how you, you know, how you react to the way he's acting.
Right.
And don't you think it's true, Grace, because I always tell this to women who tell me they're afraid of being alone. I always felt more alone being in my marriage than out of my marriage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, just because somebody's there doesn't mean that you don't feel lonely.
Right. I live alone right now as far as physically alone. But,
mm-hmm.
Her list says about existing and that you're more like roommates. Well, I used to say that to him all the time, and that was before I ever saw her list. I would tell her, I feel more like a roommate with you than your wife. And so, but you do. You feel very alone. And now living alone, I don't feel. Of course, I have wonderful friends, and
mm-hmm.
I have a very good support system with them, and of course my family. So I don't ever feel. There's times of being alone, but now I'm not lonely,
mm-hmm.
and that's the difference.
You know. Also, can you tell me how you found out your husband was gay?
Well, briefly, in 2007, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. This was soon after he had had his DUI and got involved in this church. He was very unsupportive during that time, and I was diagnosed on July the 3rd, and he left on July the 17th, so
mm-hmm.
exactly 2 weeks later. This may sound strange to you and your listeners, but I really believe that cancer saved my life because when he left, I started getting strong again. As far as he wanted to come back after I had had my surgery and started my chemo, he came back to the house and wanted to come back home. And
mm-hmm.
I told him no. I told him that I would be willing to go seek counseling, but that he would not be allowed to come back into the house until we started counseling and see where that took us. And he agreed, but as the days and weeks moved on, I would ask him, when can you go? And after about the third or fourth time of asking him, he told me he didn't think we needed counseling. And then I knew that he wasn't willing to work on the marriage. I did not find out for certain that he was gay until afterwards, and it was then that I started talking to people about my marriage, and
mm-hmm.
every single one of them would say, he's gay, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into therapy and started seeing a counselor, and she agreed wholeheartedly. She said she had not, you know, she didn't know him and had not had a chance to talk with him, but everything that I told her said that he was a gay man. But I found a computer that he had been on, and he had erased the history, but he did not erase the cookies on there. And that's
mm-hmm.
when I found all the evidence that I really needed. And that was all the gay porn sites and a lot of gay chat rooms, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
did that come to a surprise? Was that a surprise at that point, or did you pretty well know that what was going on?
I with the help of my counselor and, of course, getting in touch with you
mm-hmm.
And then my friends and family all telling me, well, you know, it also, in a very strange way, Bonnie, made me feel even stupider that I didn't see that. I knew something was very wrong, and I'm not going to lie to you, that thought did cross my mind, but as I started talking to people and my counselor helping me and, of course, all your newsletters and your books that I ordered, all that in conjunction helped me realize how what it really was. And then, of course, the computer was just the final straw for me.
Well, you know what? I think it's, you know, that we're very hard on ourselves where we don't need to be. It's such a situation that it's so hard to even understand or comprehend that a gay man would marry you and want to be your husband. I mean, we just don't understand this. You know, it's something that no matter how prevalent it is, millions of women here, millions around the world, as prevalent as it is, nobody talks about it.
Right.
And I think women just don't talk about it because we are afraid that people are going to think we're stupid. How come we didn't know? How could you marry a gay man? You know, they ask all these most ridiculous questions, making it like we're at fault. Or they'll
right.
say, well, he wasn't gay when you married him. How did you make him gay? You know,
right.
I've heard some of the most amazing things that people have said to me through the years on this issue. So I think that a lot of it's what we don't know ourselves, and why would we think a gay man would marry us?
Right.
And I think that women are much too hard on themselves for not putting two and two together and coming up with four. I mean, there's so
yes.
many other variables here. And it sounds like, you know, we have this stereotype of what a gay man is, and they're usually these happy-go-lucky on television or various feminine kinds of guys. Obviously, your ex-husband wasn't that way.
Not at all. Not at all.
There was nothing happy about him, it sounds like.
Right. He was just this big, burly, he's about 6'2" and weighed about 240 pounds. And you know, I just always looked at the stereotypical gay man, and then, you know, you just never think that. And so he had no effeminate ways, and I don't want to be stereotypical when I say that. It's just
mm-hmm.
that's all I've ever had to go by. I don't know personally any gay men that I know of. I could put
mm-hmm.
that in there,
yeah,
that I know
to compare
of.
It to, right.
Yes, so I just, but, you know, I've heard we have mutual friends, and we talked about this last weekend, how some friends either take his side or the woman's side and all that. But I found out just probably in the last 3 or 4 months that my ex-husband had, there's an area in Houston where we were last weekend, and it's called the Montrose area. And it is predominantly gay people, gay men and women. And I didn't know this, but my ex-husband had lived in that area before I even knew him.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone asked me when I told them that, said, why would a straight man with as big as Houston is want to live in a predominantly gay area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he was just, I believe he's one of the men that will never admit to anyone. I believe he knows he's gay, but I don't
mm-hmm.
believe he will ever admit to being gay. So.
And that's what these straight gay men are. You know, they can't believe that they're, you know, they want to be with a woman because they don't want to be identified as being gay. And there's different variations. I mean, sometimes it is a matter of self-hatred, you know, because they've been raised to think that gay is devious and bad and, you know, distorted, and they don't want to be that. And if
right.
they can, you know, marry a woman, have a child with her or children with her, then in their own heads, just because they have sex with a man, they don't view that as being gay because they say it's not a gay lifestyle. Or I've heard a lot of gay men say, well, I'm not emotionally tangled with them, or I don't kiss them. It's just, you know, it's just really quick sex, you know, just to fulfill a sexual need. That doesn't make me gay. You know,
right.
because their own fear of having to be identified as gay, they'll sit and screw up as many women's lives as they need to, just so that nobody will have to ever say they're gay. And that's what he sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do believe that there at the end when he left, I believe he had brought a man to the house one day and told me that he was in the business that we were in. But my ex-husband seemed very attentive to him. And looking back on it now, I'm wondering if they didn't have something going on. So, and I believe maybe if that was the case, and I can't prove it, but if that was the case, why the end of the marriage took place for him the way it did, you know, was that he had become emotionally involved, if not as well as physically involved with this man, you know. So I don't know, and but I do know there's no doubt in my mind that he's gay. I have no doubt in my mind about that.
How was your sex life with him?
Horrible. Mm-hmm. I've told everybody that when we were just seeing one another, it was fine. It was nothing to brag about. It's kind of emotionless and everything, but he seemed to be want to be intimate more. Once he said I do, he didn't.
Oh.
And he, in fact, I keep a journal, and I have ever since I was a teenager. And it had gotten so bad that I would put a star on the day whenever we were intimate. And I went back after our divorce and looked at all the journals. And in the 10 years that we were married, we were intimate 31 times. So you're talking about once every 4 months. And it was usually me initiating it.
And when you would initiate it, would he always be receptive or not?
Very seldom. I remember one night that this was the most devastating time for me. It had been a long time, and I thought, well, maybe if I spice things up. I was always trying to do something, and I was one of those women that was always trying, if I did my hair different, if I lost some weight, if I gained some weight, if I, you know, whatever, and nothing ever worked. So on this one night, I went in, and I took a shower, and I put new makeup on, and I had a little wig. This was before I had the cancer, and I had a little wig. I put it on and put on a sexy nightgown, and I laid in the bed, and I called him in the bedroom, and he came in and busted out laughing, and then he went and laid back down on the couch. So the next day, I asked him about it, and he told me, you're making way too much out of this. Well, it wasn't making way too much out of it. It hurt me more than just about anything else did.
And I'm not saying this because you're on the phone, Grace, because I said it, you know, behind your back when you weren't around. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, some people, some women are just blessed as far as looks are concerned. And, you know, when I saw you, it's kind of like startling because you're certainly one of them. You know, you're like model beautiful. And, you know, there is nothing any man would, I mean, I'm sure you try to get picked up by many men, correct?
Some.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. I mean, you're a beautiful woman. And, I mean, you're like model beautiful. And, you know, we had another wonderful woman there, Erin, who's also the same way, who's also, you know, I say women are so blessed when they're model beautiful. And you always think, boy, if I could look like that. But it doesn't seem to make any difference, does it?
No,
you know, self-esteem is not based on how you look. It's how you feel inside. And when people make you feel worthless, it doesn't matter how beautiful you are because you really don't believe it.
Absolutely. I loved what Wendy had sent. I loved a lot of the things that she had sent, the sayings, but the one that stuck out to me was that you tell a woman she's beautiful and she believes it for a day. You tell her she's ugly and she believes it for a lifetime. And that's pretty much how I was feeling, was that I just felt like this nothing, you know. And now I'm getting my self-esteem back a little bit by little bit, but it takes a toll on you when your husband doesn't want you. It's a horrible feeling.
Well, you know, in your case, it's not a matter of getting it back. In your case, it's a matter of first getting it, not even back. Because having been through a bad childhood, an abusive marriage, the first time physically abusive, and an emotionally abusive marriage to, you know, a rageaholic gay man on the second marriage, there is no way that you could have ever built up any sense of who you are or even know who you are, you know how wonderful you are. I mean, when you think and you sit down and really think about all the things you've done to try to please people who can't be pleased. I mean, these are people you can never please no matter how hard you try. I'm sure you were probably the best wife that any man could have asked for because you just kept trying harder in the losing situations.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why, to me, women who are wives of gay men make the best wives for future good husbands because we know what it's like to try hard to please a man. I mean, that's what we are. We are the people pleasers.
Right.
And we want to make people happy at our own expense. It doesn't seem to matter.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Tell me next what happened with your husband and his new marriage.
Okay, this was what I really wanted to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to your radio program for a long time, and of course I love your newsletters, but I wrestled with the thought of if I should tell her or when I should tell her. But I had gone last year to see my sister. She lives in London, and she had come home for a while, and I had gone for a visit. And I was talking to her about it, and I told her, I said, I don't know how to tell her because I don't think she'd believe me. Right now I believe to be kind of ugly, but I believe he's a sex machine right now with her because they wanted a child together. But we talked about it for a little while, and that was the end of it. Well, when I came home from my sister's house, she called me, and she said, I've done all the legwork for you. I got on the internet, I Googled her name, I found an address, I found who her relatives are and everything. So what I did was I planned this out where I was going to notify a family member, not as myself, though. And I had to do a lot of thinking and praying. But because my ex-husband had been on the internet, on chat rooms, and even gay dating sites, I knew that how I could do this and make him even think that it was true was I notified her sister, and I pretended to be a group of gay men that had been married before, that had divorced, and they were trying to get gay straight marriages to stop. I even gave some stories. I said they were an underground movement, that they, I mean, I went into all this long detail, that they had been on the internet monitoring gay chat rooms, and that this woman's husband had been in contact with some of the members of this group, and they just wanted to let them know that he was a gay man. And the reason they notified a family member was because they didn't know when the right time would be to tell the wife. They would have to decide that. But another reason I did it that way was to let the family know that if she starts withdrawing, is depressed, whatever, they would know what the problem was. And that was the only way I have. Now, whether or not she believed it, whether or not they told her yet or whatever, I don't know. That was the only way I had of letting her know what was going on without them thinking it came from me. And my sister read everything, and she said, this is brilliant.
Yeah, I think it really
is brilliant.
Lucy, what do you
think
of
no
that?
Way, there's no way they ever have a finding out about these men because they're not real. But because he had been on there, on all these things, he has no idea that he might have been chatting with one of these men that knew that he was gay, and it's all make-believe. But I'm hoping this woman will realize one day that what I was trying to tell her in this sort of way is the truth. So
you didn't actually tell her. You told her sister, right?
I told her sister, and my sister told me, she said, you know what, that's the best thing you could have done, because she said, my sister found out that she had a Facebook page, and this sister and her apparently are very close because they chat back and forth on the Facebook page. So I notified the sister. Well, like my sister said, if she had gotten that letter, the first thing she would have been on was on the phone with me telling me. So I'm hoping that's what happened.
Well, you know, I think you brought up some really good points that I hadn't considered before, and I think it's an excellent idea. You know, the reason why some women really hesitate to say anything as far as, you know, telling, you know, the new woman in the man's life is because, first of all, the woman doesn't want to believe it. Secondly, the ex-husband will say, well, you're crazy, when, you know, when she confronts him.
Right.
And, you know, that's what she's going to want to hear. So maybe it'll come up later on in life, but for the moment, like, you've lost the whole effect on it. You know, you can always say, well, she's just trying to get back at me because, you know, she's mad because I married somebody else. You know, they always have their excuses ready. So
absolutely.
I think it's really a brilliant plan, you know, tell somebody else who's in the family.
Absolutely.
Who's close to the person. And believe me, he's not going to be much different with her than he was with you. You know,
right.
He can pretend for a short time and maybe even, you know, it doesn't take more than once or twice to have sex to get somebody pregnant.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like he's necessarily doing anything differently with her than he did with you. You
right.
know, you have sex every, you know, few months, you can still hit a baby. So, you know, I think that she's going to notice, like, within a short amount of time, like you did, that something's wrong in this marriage. Did you know anything about her or
no,
not?
I know nothing about her. We
mm-hmm.
lived close to Houston when we were married. And after the divorce, he moved clear across the state. And
mm-hmm.
Texas, you know, is a very big state. That's all I know about her. I know that she, according to my sister, and like I said, my sister did all the legwork for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've never looked at her Facebook page. I don't want to. I'm trying now to, since I've let her know in my convoluted way, kind of, sort of, I feel like now it's my turn just to start taking care of me. What she does
right.
with that information is up to her, but I have let her know in the way that I felt like I could let her know. But my main thing is, and I just want to point this out, I wrestled with the thought, am I doing this for the right reason? And when I really realized that I was trying to save this woman from what I went through. What she does with the information is up to her, but I wanted her family to know so that they could honestly be looking for signs, even if she doesn't want to admit to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and be there for her if and when she ever does come to grips with it. So that's how I looked at it, was that if I let her know. And my sister told me, she said, if you had gotten this letter, would you have let me know if you found out that my husband was gay? I said, absolutely. And I think as sisters, especially if you're close, you would let them know that you had received that letter, you know.
No, I think it's amazing to do it that way because, yes, you know, now it's just not like the wife who has to carry this burden.
Right.
You know, now another family member knows, and she can take the responsibility, and she's going to see that things aren't normal. And, you know, just like he was sitting there that time, like you said, for 10 minutes because something was missing on the table or a pen or whatever,
right.
he's not going to be any different with her. Trust me. These guys don't act differently. They may
right.
temporarily until they get you hooked. But once they have you hooked, then they just become themselves again because they haven't changed. And
right.
so, you know, this sister is going to see that something's off. And she's going to see that her, you know, sister's not happy. And she's going to say, look, there's more problems there than you think.
Right.
And I still say, Grace, that even if, no, you can tell me if you think I'm right or not. If somebody would have come to us and told us, even if we didn't believe it at the moment or want to believe it, at least the thought was planted.
And
maybe then it would explain some stuff to us. Do you agree with that?
That's exactly why I did it. You plant the seed, and then that's always playing in the back of her mind. But I even went so far as to write down the signs, you know, of what these men do, you know, and from a man's point of view. And the beauty of me writing it the way that I wrote it was that I did not condemn him for being gay because,
mm-hmm.
like I said, I wrote it from a pretend group, make-believe group, but
mm-hmm.
they supposedly were all gay men. And like they said, we're all gay men, and we don't fault this man for being gay. We fault him for marrying somebody, and we saw what devastation it did in our marriages. And so I didn't pin any blame on my ex-husband for being gay, and I still don't. There's an amount of pity for him that I have that he can't face who he really is. But it was not a condemning letter at all that I sent. It was more of just an explanation, trying to let the sister know what her sister was in for. And that's really the only reason I did it.
Now, what's your gut feeling? Do you think she told her sister or no?
I think she probably told her sister, but I don't think she, like I said, I don't know. They may be apart now. I really don't know. Maybe she did believe it. I really don't know. But I did what I felt like I needed to do by letting her know in the way that I let her know. If she had gotten a letter from me or I had have called her, she wouldn't have believed me. She would have thought that I was just a bitter ex-wife or a jealous ex-wife or whatever. This was the only way I had of letting her know what was going on, and what she does is up to her now. It's not up to me.
Well,
and
I
have no.
You're so right on with that, Grace, because women who have told me that, you know, they wouldn't do this for exactly the same reason, but they never thought, and I always say to them, well, you don't have to do it. You know, I'll do it. I'll send them one of my books with a little note. Or, you know, I've done this before where I send a woman a note, you know, I think you may need, you know, to read some information that will help you. And, you know, cause when women give me their email addresses, you know, to send it to, like, these, you know, second wives or whatever the case is. And, you know, I just say, well, you know, I've had a few women say to me, well, how did you get my name? And I would say, well, somebody who cares about you sent it to me. They didn't leave any information. It was, you know, Hotmail address that's no longer connected. They just wanted me to send this information to you. And I'm always happy to send women information or books or whatever the case is. But I think you found another way that's really excellent if you can get to a family member. I think it has a lot of validity to it. Misty, are you still there with me?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
What do you think? What's your feelings on this?
The first thing I want to commend you for, Grace, is, you know, I think any woman, when they go through this, is such a difficult decision. It really is, because I had the information of who my ex-husband was seeing, and he, too, was married. So I wrestled with it for so long, thinking, should I call her? Should I tell her? What if one of them have, you know, what if she gets a disease from him? You know, all these things were going through my head, and it's such horrible information. It will pull you every way. And like what you said, that I love what you said, I had to just stop and ask myself, am I doing this from my heart to help someone, or am I doing this to, you know, as vengeance or whatever? And you have to be in a really good place, I think, to do something like that from your heart. You got to be in a stable, stable place, because if you do it from a vengeance mode, like some, you know, I don't want to give women a bad name, but not just women, women and men, when they go through divorce, it can get really nasty. So, you know, you don't want to be put in that category at all. And certainly by what you said, I don't think you can be. But it's such a tricky, tricky, tricky spot to be in. And you just have to be so careful, especially if you want to do it with integrity. And I think that's what's important for me. That was what was important for me. So I sat and I prayed on it all weekend, and I said, okay, I'll have my answer by Monday. I want you to know that the woman called me, and less than just a few hours later, she called me. She knew everything, and she was going to let me know. Yeah. So that way I knew I was going the right path, and I knew it was from my heart, wanting to let her know, and she was so scared. Because in my mind, I had no idea who she was. I didn't know if she was a part of the scheme. I didn't know if they were my friend calls them a thruple, the threesome people. I thought, well, maybe there's three together as this couple, thruple, whatever you want to call it, you know. Because you never know what people will be a part of. Because I certainly didn't know that part of him. And I didn't want to endanger myself anymore, because there was a lot of domestic violence included in my marriage. So you got to be very careful and do it from such a place of integrity. And that's what it sounds like that you really focused on. And that's what I tell any woman, because you don't want to look like the scorned ex-wife that no one's going to believe, because you've just lost your chance at helping someone. And I like what you said, you know, you just give them the information, and they do with it whatever they need to. You know, because, you know, we can't change history. We can't change some things. But what we do know, you know, I wish someone would have told me.
Right.
And that's the way I based it and looked at it. And lo and behold, like I said, after I sat and thought about it and thought about it and pondered it, because I wanted to make sure I wasn't doing it from a bad spot, a bad space. And she called me. And it just worked out really good. My situation was a little bit different. You know, he wasn't remarrying, but my heart goes out to those that are, because it's just, wow, the layer of self-doubt it can even build again, you know.
Absolutely.
So I'm so glad to hear that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you're okay with it. That is just so good to hear that you know that he is, and not building up another layer of self-doubt.
Right.
Because that's the last thing any straight wife needs, is another layer of self-doubt to remove. You know, there's enough work there to begin with. But that's, you know, I think it's wonderful. Just, you know, when you do anything like that, I'll tell anyone, you got to do it from your heart and from a place of integrity. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah, right. Misty's opinion. It's not my opinion, by the way. I think you can do
well,
it for any reason.
See, I love Bonnie so much. We differ in a few ways. So you go ahead, Bonnie.
Right.
I respect your opinion, too, my dear. I love you, Bonnie.
I only feel that, you know, I don't care if it's revenge or whatever, because I feel that sometimes that's how women have closure, is that you can't always do it truly from the heart because, you know, I don't feel you have to do it from that place. You do what makes you feel right and makes you feel good. And,
but we're Southern women, Bonnie. You're from the North. A little different.
I don't have that Southern mentality.
Misty and I are what we call grits, girls raised in the South.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm a killer Northerner. I believe in doing it and getting it done. But I'm saying that I don't want you to have regrets for doing it. I think for whatever your motivation is of letting, I mean, and Misty, like, I don't think you have to be, like, in a loving place to do this. If somebody's doing something really wrong and they're hurting someone else,
mm-hmm.
I think it's fine to let that other person know. But, you know, that's my opinion. I mean, I wouldn't have to think twice about it.
Well, I think that's from a place from integrity of what you just described, though. I would say
okay.
That.
That sounds
I just want to reiterate, when I wrote the letter, and like I said, it's from a group of make-believe men, but that's why I wrote it from their viewpoint, was that they didn't condemn the man for being gay,
mm-hmm.
and they just were letting the woman know that her husband was a gay man. And the reason I let the family member know was so that they could be aware of any changes or anything that their loved one was going through that might, you know, just make red flags go up that something's just not right here. Now, like I said, I didn't do it to hurt her. I pondered on that. I'm just gonna make her whole world come crashing down. But I'm not. He's gonna make her whole world crash down. I'm just trying to save her the years of going through that horrible, horrible, horrible. Like you said, peeling the layers away of who you really are. And if she chooses to stay with him, then that's her prerogative. But I don't. I pray that she in time will see what it is. And she and that new little baby that they just have will move on to a better place.
I know. What a
big
shame to have a father like that. And just so he can make out more that he's no gay man. He's a straight man. He has a wife. He has a child. You know, he's going to hide behind them, you know. And I just feel so bad that these guys just can't face who they are. And as Misty will tell you, we are very sympathetic to men who are gay. And I'm really sympathetic to men who have to go through this struggle. I am not sympathetic with men who are having gay sex, so even if they don't want to call themselves gay, they certainly know they're not straight, and they're sitting and marrying women not once, but twice or three or four times, just so they can let the world know that I am not a gay man. That, to me, is the most selfish thing that any human being can do to somebody else. I mean, I don't feel that's forgivable. You know, I feel it's forgivable if you're not sure when you get married, but as soon as you really start, you know, dealing with it, then you have to say, you know, it's time for me to stand up and be honest. But, I mean, your husband was with you for 10 years. I mean, he knew what he was for those 10 years. And now he's going to go do it again? I mean, what kind of person does that?
And, you know, like I said, it's just about him bringing this little baby into the world. And I know by what I read on the computer that he was, for lack of a better term, hooking up with other men and everything. Well, what's going to happen to this little baby if he gives this little baby's mother some kind of disease and something happens to her, you know?
Exactly.
This little baby didn't ask to be born. This woman didn't ask to be married to a gay man. And so I had to do what I felt was right, and I have had no qualms about what I did. I have no regrets about what I did. The ball's in her court now. She can do whatever she wants to do. If she chooses to stay, that's her prerogative. If she chooses to leave, then that's her prerogative too. But I, in my heart, can look at myself every morning when I look in the mirror and say, I did the right thing by letting her know. I let her know.
Exactly, and I think that it's really so commendable for you, and that you can rest with peace of mind that you did the right thing. And I always tell women, you know, I know you think of yourself, and that's okay. I don't tell women, you know, you should do this or else. I mean, everybody has to live with his or her own decision of what they do. But I think, you know, that there has to be a way to let uninformed women not go through the suffering that we've gone through. And that's why I say if women can't do it, you know, Grace came up with such a clever way of doing it. And I know that we have another member of our support group online, Maggie. She's like the best detective I know, infiltrating all these groups and getting all this information. And, I mean, there's always ways to do things. If you're looking for ways to do it, you can let me know or I'll let Grace know. And, you know, we'll help you do it. But, you know, you shouldn't have to feel even further humiliated by the fact that your gay husband's out there marrying some other woman. I mean, because I feel that in itself is humiliating. And I'm not saying on a personal level. I mean, it's not like he's saying you're not good enough, but this woman is. No woman's ever going to be good enough for him. You know, he's just using women so that people won't suspect him of being gay. Is he still active, do you think, in the church?
I don't know if he is or not, Bonnie. Like I said, he spoke to me apparently right before he got involved with this woman. And he was very down in the dumps. He called me and was very down in the dumps, telling me that this man that I had told you about that I thought might him and this man might have been had something going, telling me that he, and the words he used was he screwed him, but he didn't elaborate on that. Of course, this is before I knew that he was gay for sure. But I wanted to tell you this. I found this out very recently from my mother, and talk about irony and how weird things are in life. My dad was from Maine, the state of Maine. And he was one of 15 children.
Hmm.
And I have an aunt who I was named after. Her name is Grace, too.
Hmm.
My mother told me about a month ago that this aunt has been married to a gay man for 50 years. They're still married. Of course, he's been with other men and everything. She knows he's gay. And they have a daughter that's a lesbian. I knew the daughter was a lesbian, but I did not know that my aunt was married to a gay man. But my mother felt the need to tell me that since I've been going through all this. And I thought, how ironic, I'm her namesake, and we've both been married to gay men. But
it is ironic. And
I know.
It's so isolated. But it's not isolated. When you have 4 million gay men who have been married, I think that's a lot. I don't find that isolated at all. I think that's a big majority of people, 4 million people, and then pulling 4 million women married to those 4 million men. Now we're looking at 8 million people, bringing all the children that come out of these marriages. Now we're looking at 15, 20 million, 25 million people who are affected by this. This is not isolated at all.
Right.
It's just that we're made to feel like we should be isolated. And this is what really upsets me. I mean, once again, our women are like the best women that any men could find. And some of them are the most beautiful women that you could ever look at. You know, and it's just amazing to me the hurt that these women have gone through. And I just will never get this, that people don't understand it. They think that for some reason that, you know, we're making ourselves victims, that we're, you know, that we should have been smarter. You know, this is all the messages that we get. You know, how could you not know he was gay? What was wrong with you? Why would you marry a gay man? You must have known something. There must have been some problem. You know, if you were normal, you would never marry him. I mean, I hear this stuff all the time.
Right.
And I think this just throws us further back into the closet. Do you agree with that, Misty? Misty, are you there? Oh, I might have lost Misty. But, you know, the point is that, you know, it's a matter that, you know, let me see if I can get Misty back on here for 1 second. Misty, back with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's
okay. But I'm saying that I just felt that, you know, this whole situation to me that women are going further back into the closet than where their husbands come out. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I don't only agree with it, I was one of them. I went as soon as I discovered my husband. You know, I knew all along something just wasn't right. And, of course, I kept denying my intuition. And a great, great friend of mine that I dearly love, when I told her, she said, you know, denial is the best form of self-preservation. And I denied it for a long time. I really did. And in that process of denial, I stepped deep into the closet. And when I wasn't in the closet, I was the closet door of protection. For some crazy reason, I even felt the burden of responsibility and protection.
So, Grace, have you told any people your husband is gay?
Yes, I have. In fact, I had gone to where we lived, where we both lived at the time, to have dinner with some friends, and they were friends of mine and my ex-husband's. And I was sitting out on the patio of this restaurant with this friend of his. It was a male. And he was telling me some things about after the divorce that my ex-husband had come over to his house and was just railing about me, you know. And this man told me, he said, I had listened to it for about an hour, and I looked at him and I said, I don't know what in the world is your problem, but you left her, so what are you mad at her about? And I looked at him and I said, did you ever think that he might be gay? And his reaction was something that I never would have thought. He did not blink an eye. He did not look at me like I was crazy. He turned to me and he said, I wouldn't doubt it. And that just blew me away, absolutely blew me away. So I think maybe some people might have even picked up on it at certain times, but just didn't know for certain or didn't want to say anything to me. But his reaction when he did that, because I was expecting him to look at me and say, are you crazy? And he just looked at me, just no kind of being startled or anything, and turned around and he said, it wouldn't surprise me at all. So, but I have, because it's no longer my secret to keep. I do not shout it from the rooftops. But if somebody questions me about, well, why did y'all get divorced? I just look at him straight in the eye and say, he's gay. It's not my secret.
I totally agree with that, because you know what? I understand why some women don't want to say it, but I still feel that these guys get away with so much because they make it like the reason they got divorced is because we had differences of opinion, that we weren't a good enough wife. You know, they'll come up with anything but the truth, and it makes us look like we failed in the marriage.
Right.
He did everything to keep that marriage alive while they were killing it day by day. And guess what? I don't want to take that responsibility.
Right.
I'm not going to shout. Well, you know, I am kind of shouting it because, you know, I'm all over the place. But, you know, I've tried to protect my ex-husband's identity as much as possible. You know, I don't use his name. And, you know, I don't, you know, go and publicly do it all over the place. But my point is, when people ask me why I got a divorce, you know, I was a wonderful wife. I'm not going to take responsibility that my marriage didn't work out. And, you know, they say it takes two to tango. Not when you have a gay husband. It's only one.
Right.
One tangoing. And that's how I really feel, that it has nothing to do with how good a wife you are or how lousy a wife you are. It has to do with you have a gay husband who can't be a straight husband.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. A gay man can never be a straight man. He can never feel the way a straight man feels about a woman because he's gay. It's not his fault. You know, I don't fault people for being gay. I just blame them for being in marriages to women where they don't belong. And I believe they have that obligation. As soon as they know what they are, they need to tell their wives. And those guys who don't, to me, are cowards. And I really challenge them. I really do. And I'm going to be challenging them more. Because, I mean, I know they keep telling me it's because they love their wife and they don't want to hurt her. Well, I think every day you love a woman and she's hurting. That is not loving her. That's hurting her. Do you agree with that?
I do, most definitely. I know that when my ex-husband came back right after I had had my surgery and started my chemo, he came in the house and he was crying and begging me to come back with him and everything. And I, you know, I told him about seeing the counselor, and you've spoke so eloquently about when they don't want to go to counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was seeing my counselor, I told her about that, and she said, well, I'm just going to tell you this. Any counselor that's worth anything would have picked up on that when you started telling that there was no intimacy in the marriage or anything, would have picked up on the fact that he possibly was gay right away. And that's why he didn't want to go. And so, but I remember this one day when he came back, he looked at me and he said, I know I've been a bad husband to you. And I looked at him just with the most straight face and I said, that's not true. That is not true. You have not been a bad husband. And he got the sweetest smile on his face and I slammed him then. I said, you haven't been a husband at all.
Ah, that is beautiful, isn't it, Misty?
Wow, yeah, I was wondering where that was going. I thought, wow, I can't be that nice. I try to be nice, but I can't be that nice. Okay, much better ending to that one than I thought.
Yeah.
Than I saw where it was heading.
And I'm really glad you had that opportunity to say that, because he wasn't a husband to you. He
That's
was just
right.
A person who abused you for all those years, making you feel worthless.
That's
and that's
right.
Why I say these guys who say they love us, is this how they consider love to be? Sitting and knocking somebody and making them feel inadequate and unworthy and calling them all kinds of dirty names. I mean, this is love. And then saying, well, they didn't really mean it, or you misunderstood it, or it doesn't mean anything. You know, did you ever, you'll never find anybody to love you like I do by any chance?
This is the one thing that, through my counseling and everything that I've come to grips with, is that, and I'm not necessarily talking about my gay husband, but talking about my dad and everything. My dad, and this is how I got, my dad passed away in 2007, but my dad loved me the best way he could. And I've found out so many things about my dad's childhood, and I realize now that my dad had a horrible childhood. His father was abusive and everything. And you have to stop the circle of abuse. But my dad loved me the best way he knew how. And that's not excusing him, but it's how I made peace with the fact that my dad was the best dad he could be. And that's not saying that he was the best dad anybody could be, but it was the best dad he could be. My ex-husband was not the best husband he could be. I just realized that in reading your books and listening to the other women talk and everything, these men are gay men that marry women. I don't know what their motivation is, but their love, they think they're loving you, but their love is not the kind of love that most husbands give their wives. And so I don't excuse them, but mine was so selfish. Everything was about him. Everything. Everything was about him.
Uh-huh.
And it was never about me, ever. And
uh-huh.
That he proved that point when he walked away from me when I needed him the most. When I was diagnosed with the cancer, I was so devastated. I didn't know if I was going to live or die, and he walked away. And
uh-huh.
So I knew then that there's no way that that's love, that no matter gay, straight, or whatever, if he was truly the kind of man that I thought he was, then he would have at least stayed and helped me through the toughest time of my life, and he walked away. And
uh-huh.
So, but I don't make excuses for him. I don't have to anymore. I don't make excuses for him anymore.
Right, exactly. And you don't have to, and it is the
no.
kind of he is. And he is selfish and rotten, and he would probably be that way. I don't think being gay made him that way. I
no.
know he's that kind of person. And
right.
he just, you know, messed up with his whole sexuality thing, and then, you know, his horrible personality combined with it just tortured you, as he's going to do this next wife. Trust me, she's
right.
not going to have it any better, because she couldn't be any nicer than you were. So, you know, this man will never, he's a gay man. He's never going to be happy in a straight marriage.
Right.
He's always going to feel like his wife is keeping him prisoner in the marriage, even though he married you.
Right.
So, you know, that's why he was so frustrated. You know, he thought
I
he
wrote.
Was, you know, you were his warden, keeping him there.
Right. I wrote a letter to you one time, and I said, the man that I thought I married does not exist. And that's the truth. I married him thinking he was one way, and he wasn't that. So the man that I loved and married does not exist. He's a totally different human being. So I just listened to all the women last weekend, and I felt so much of their pain. Some of them, you could tell, were just still in so much pain. And then there were some that had come through what I call the fire, and they're on the way to finding themselves again. And so there was a whole mix of emotions there in the room, but there's still a lot of them that are in pain, and I'm sure that there are so many more out there that are going through it. And it's not fun. It's just not fun.
No, I say nobody has a right to take away somebody's happiness. And nobody has the right to make somebody feel insignificant. And when a gay man marries a straight woman, he can never expect that he's not taking away what that woman deserves. I don't care how nice he is. He can be the nicest guy in the world, but he can never be a straight husband to a woman, no matter how nice he is. Because he's thinking about he wants to be with men, or he's going out on the side and being with men because he's a gay man. And then, you know, they're making it like sex isn't any big deal. We have so much other stuff going for us. Well, guess what? That's not the case. They instead turn on you. They resent you. They feel like they're being trapped. I mean, we see this happening in so many of these marriages. But that's why I say it's such a tribute to women to see the strength that they have and the inner strength they have. And, you know, we are survivors. That's how I look at it. You know, we are definitely survivors who find our strength under the worst of adversity and the worst of circumstances. I mean, you had to go through the whole ordeal with cancer. How are you doing with that?
I'm doing wonderful. I say I've been healed by the hand of Jesus, and I don't sit around and worry about it anymore. I'm going into year 5. I will go to the doctor next month, and then what they consider in total remission, and so I just don't even think about it anymore. I feel wonderful. So
that's wonderful. Like you say, you put your, you know, hands, put this in the hands of God, let him do his healing, which he's obviously doing, because you deserve to be healed. And hopefully, once again, not only healed on the outside or physically, but emotionally, that's where the healing really needs to be.
Right.
All the years of, you know, everything you went through. And you know what, Grace, I had a father also who grew up, you know, in a very badly abusive type of home. And he did the best he could do with us, too, to some point. You know, he forgave to a point. But there
right.
also comes a point where people have to take responsibility for their actions. And he was very toxic to all of us. And, you know, there came a point where I had to, you know, cut him off because I had to save myself. And I think as we get older and we realize that, you know, we just can't be around toxic people who are going to try to bring our lives down, no matter who they are. You know, we have to go into survival mode and happiness mode because we deserve it. No
yeah.
one has to take that away from us, right?
Right. You're absolutely right. And the lady that said that she's just cutting out all the toxic relationships in her life, that's so true. If we could all just get rid of all the negative relationships that we have in our lives, that's the only thing that's going to make us stronger, you know.
Right. That was Patsy and Ray. And, you know, I was very strong with her on that. I said, you know what? I had to divorce my father. You can divorce your mother. You know, when people are toxic in your life, you have to learn how to cut off that toxicity. Because
Absolutely.
It just eats right through you. I mean, there's no way you can beat around it, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So, Grace, my biggest regret is I didn't get to spend more time with you, but I'll be back next year.
I can't wait.
And then we'll take it. I said the only regret I had about my trip to Texas this year is that it was 48 hours. Next time, I'm taking a few days to hang out there so you can hang out with me.
Oh, I'll show you the town.
I would love to see it. And I had a wonderful time meeting all of our Texas women and women who came from other parts of the country, Erin from Alaska, Donna from New York, you know, Stacey also came, and I mean, there were so many women there. Lisa came from Georgia, Nancy, and, you know, it was wonderful to have women, you know, Debbie, who has her ministry for minority women. Wasn't Debbie funny?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I know, she kept me in stitches. And, you know, my little sister Debbie from Texas, you know, just having the joy of meeting all the women there. It was just, to me, overwhelming. I just felt so bad. I only had two days to do it. But next year I will be back. I love that place. Wasn't it beautiful?
Oh, it was. It was gorgeous.
South Shore Harbor Resort, beautiful place. And I'll be having a healing weekend coming up again at the end of September here in Philadelphia. And hopefully women from in this area will be able to come back again also. I think any time you can connect to women and tell your stories and realize you're not alone, it is a healing experience. Do you agree with that?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Well, Grace, it was wonderful for you to be our guest. Wasn't she a great guest, Misty?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing. And I'm just sorry I didn't get to meet you. I'm sorry I didn't make it on the Texas trip, but hopefully next year.
We'll come next year and you'll get to meet her.
Thank you all so much.
Hopefully, Grace will come back on our show. You said so many, you know, good points and good insight. So if you don't mind, in a few months coming back, we'd love to have you again as a guest.
Okay, thank you so much. Y'all have a great week.
All right, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I just think Grace, she's like a hero. I'm like, not enough words I can say. And you should see how beautiful she is. I'm so jealous.
Oh,
I mean, she's
sure.
A beautiful woman. Inside, outside, all over the place. It's just, she needs to get the best out of her life. So anyway, next week we're going to be back with Wendy and Wendy's List. So for those people who love listening to Wendy's List, like Grace, who really... And me, I just love Wendy's List, so Wendy will be our guest next week. And Misty, I hope you have a much better week this week.
And I think I will.
I think you will, too. A week of inspiration and change.
Absolutely.
So to all of our listeners, keep changing and keep being inspired, and we'll be back here again with you next week, and I'll let you sign off, Misty.
Good night, and love to all.
And love to all of you. We'll be back next Sunday night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.